This is our Holy Gospel for today, our Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. This continues in our line of teaching and stories that Jesus has had, so there is still this large crowd gathered together while Jesus continues his teaching. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When I was growing up in church and in Sunday school, I was raised with an image of God that I think is pretty common, but also I find now to be pretty unhelpful. And I call it a theology of Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, see if this sounds familiar when we think about God, right? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Right? Does this sound familiar of some things that are sort of out there about God, about how God regards us? A plea for good behavior that has a not so subtle undertone of threat? The type of scripture that usually backs up this kind of theology is something along the lines of what we read in Luke's gospel today. Be ready, we hear, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We hear this sort of ominous music in the background, right? This dun, dun, dun. It's how we're trained to think of that, trained to hear that kind of warning as a threat. But I wonder what would happen if we flipped it on its head and instead read this parable through the words of promise that Jesus begins our reading with today. Jesus is gathered with this huge crowd of people, people he has been walking with, teaching with for many chapters now in Luke's gospel, and he begins with this encouragement. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Why would Jesus tell us to not be afraid and talk about how it's a Father's good pleasure to give to us the kingdom, and then tell us a parable that's supposed to scare us? That doesn't quite add up. It doesn't make sense. I wonder what would happen if we reimagine this parable, not in light of our unpreparedness, which this always seems to drum up within us, but if instead we led considering God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. My daughter Lily just turned 11 a couple weeks ago. And if you've ever thrown a birthday party for an 11-year-old, there are some preparations that need to be made, right? Invitations were sent, gifts were bought, a cake was baked, and then the anticipation for that day is continuing to grow and grow. Lily's friends were coming over at 2 o'clock, and I think I had to give a countdown update every 15 minutes on the 15 minutes, starting at about 9 a.m. Right? There's an excitement. This is happening. Something exciting is going to happen. There are things that we need to do to get ready. The excitement and the anticipation become almost too much to bear. I wonder what happens if we looked at this reading through a lens like that. The excitement and the anticipation of Jesus joining us, Jesus knocking at our door, the excitement and anticipation is almost too much to bear. What if we looked at the words of Jesus not in light of our need to be prepared to meet God, which I don't mean to spoil anything, but that's always an endeavor in which we're going to fall short. Right? None of us can rely on our own abilities to prepare to meet God, to reach that level. But what if instead we looked at the words of Jesus in light of how excited God is to fling the gates wide open in joy and in welcome? How excited and eager God is to come knock at our door and join in the celebration. We hear this same warning that Jesus gives, this "do not be afraid," all the way back in God's conversation with Abram in Genesis 15. It goes all the way back to the beginning. God says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." And we hear at the end of this reading, Abram trusted the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abram's trust in God is the reason that God makes things right with him. It's not Abram's ability to prepare. It's not Abram's ability to do everything exactly right. Being made right with God is not a reward that Abram earned by following all the rules or performing all the good deeds, but because of his trust in God and because of God's goodness and grace. The writer of Hebrews highlights this faith, right? Highlights this trust of Sarah and Abraham. God delights in bringing goodness and blessing to Sarah and Abraham, not because they have followed every rule or they commit every good deed, but because that's who God is. And that's what God does. Of course, it's a whole lot easier to trust when we know for certain what's coming, right? It's a lot easier to trust a parent's plea for patience when you know the birthday party starts at 2. It makes that waiting and patience, that perseverance in the time between, a little bit easier when you know for certain what is ahead. Reminds me of this time some friends and I were having a little adventure back in high school when Krispy Kreme donuts were first coming to Fargo. Some friends and I decided that we were going to meet at my house at 3 o'clock in the morning to go get in line for their 7 o'clock grand opening. We figured that would give us enough time to order the donuts, to get the boxes, to eat a couple in the parking lot, and then to get to school on time. And we were right. It was great. And it was a lot easier to wait when we knew what was happening and when it was happening. And that makes these warnings that Jesus gives rather difficult, because no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows what it's going to look like when that knock comes. We don't have the same assurances as a birthday party or a grand opening in this parable to Jesus, from Jesus to his followers today. And yet, even though we don't have those same assurances of what will happen or when, the precise time, we do know the who of the question. We may not know what it looks like, and we may not know when, but we do know who will come knocking at the door, and we do know a little something about our God. We know that God doesn't wait for us to be completely prepared or have everything just so before committing to be our shepherd and for us to be his flock. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Just like the middle school girls showing up to your 11-year-old daughter's birthday party, don't wait for every balloon to be blown up just before ringing the doorbell. And God doesn't wait for the arrangements to be just right before making his decision to come knock at our door. And God's decision is this: God has decided to be your God. God has decided to be the God for you. God has decided that you are part of the flock, that you are part of the fold. Not because you're the best sheep in the whole wide world, but because God is our shepherd. And because God has decided that you, as you are in the flock. God has decided that you are a part of God's kingdom now and forever. And there are still things to be done, right? There are still party preparations to be had. There are still lamps to be lit and preparations to be made. But when we read a parable like this through the promise of God's goodness, we don't have to read it as a threat that we may once have been told it is. Right? Jesus' mission statement in Luke's gospel comes in his very first sermon back in Luke chapter 4, where he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of God's favor." That is the celebration coming to our door. That is the promise of who Jesus is when he knocks. So our preparations, keeping our lamps lit, is this very work that Jesus was about in his earthly ministry. Walking alongside those in poverty or being held captive by whatever force may be binding them, doing the work that we can to free those who are being oppressed and bring healing to places that hurt or are in pain. This is our work as the church. One of the songs that the kids filled this worship space with this last week was the theme. The theme for VBS was "We Are the Church." And they sang this wonderful camp song that you'll hear again throughout the year. We're bringing it to the Sunday school music time. And it's this song, "We Are the Church, the Body of Our Lord. We are all God's children, and we have been restored." Friends, this is who we are as the flock of our good shepherd. And this is the work that we are about, not out of fear of condemnation or of having every single thing completed in time, but because it helps us focus less on our own preparedness, which could never measure up, and more on the abundant gifts that we find in God's kingdom, which God has been waiting to give us the whole time. So friends, we are the church. We are the body of our Lord exactly as we are. We are all God's children, and we have been restored. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen.